we sit down with our clients and we handle catastrophic cases. And we want to know from our clients what their goals are, what their needs are. And what you will find almost shockingly is how important it is to victims of catastrophic injuries to have goals that are outside really their needs. And what I mean by that is, you know, we'll have clients who they've lost the wage earner of the family through a wrongful death. We'll have clients who are quadriplegic, tetraplegic, paraplegic, who are going to have 24-hour a day needs for the rest of their lives. And those needs are going to be met, need to be met, and those are going to be part of their goals. But we often, especially in those catastrophic cases, have clients who say, you know what, I don't want this ever to happen to somebody else. I don't want to see this happen again. And it's important in our system, even though the verdicts that are rendered can only provide monetary damages, it is important in our profession that we listen to those goals and see what we can do to help our clients meet those goals. And from the plaintiff's perspective, you know, we almost come at this as an approach of, you know, we're part of the safety net in this country. It is through representing people who have been injured in these kinds of catastrophic events that many safety regulations, many standards of care are set so that future events do not happen. We're very much in a pro-business state. A lot of conversation about, you know, how much we need in regulation, whether we need more deregulation, and wherever that may go, we need to make sure we preserve the civil justice system so that we can provide that input through these catastrophic events, one case at a time, of trying to make sure that we're making a better, safer community. So meeting our clients' goals from the plaintiff's perspective oftentimes includes making those changes. And the way we do that is by working up our cases in strength through depositions and other means. And then at the end of a case, we are oftentimes demanding not just monetary dollars, but we're demanding that certain changes happen. Now, there are some cases where we can't do that. We can't do that in cases where somebody's necessarily just running a stop sign inadvertently, an honest mistake, whatever it may be. The stop sign is going to remain. That law is not going to change. And that's the law that needs to be followed. But when we're getting into more complicated scenarios, and most cases are, there are opportunities for change. And I recall in thinking about this earlier today, a case where we had, it does not involve a security company, but I'll use them because it's a similar approach that they use. And that is, a security company was called by a homeowner to come in and set a security system up inside the house. And multinational company, somebody that everybody knows the name of, and it is a company that has a lot of confidence that comes with it for being a big major company. People who call them expect their employees to come out and those employees to have been checked. Proper hiring practices have been put in place, and they have confidence of letting them inside their homes. Unfortunately, what we learned in that particular case was that this big company had subcontracted out to Company B to provide these technicians, and Company B had subcontracted out to Company C, and Company C had hired had an employee, and that employee of Company C thought he needed a little more help on a particular day, and he invited a buddy of his to come in and help him with the technician's work, gave him an extra shirt, and they went about their way with no supervision, no policies or procedures to prevent this kind of situation from occurring. And unfortunately, this friend ended up chasing one of the children around, trying to take pictures, and probably had ungodly intent as well. Fortunately, a parent was able to intervene and stop the occurrence from continuing. But we were able at the end of that case to get with the company, Company A, the big international company, and talk about and create changes so that homeowners had an opportunity to call in. Homeowners had additional safety measures, that there were additional safety measures placed within the structure and hierarchy of hiring. And to prevent this kind of scenario from happening again. And there are a number of cases where we've gone down the road of trying to make those kinds of changes because that's what our clients' goals were. And so when we approach our depositions and our plaintiff's cases, we're looking at not just what is it the elements that we need to prove in a case. We're looking not just at how do we maximize the damages models of our cases. We're also looking at what we can do to help accomplish our clients' goals. And by doing that, we're doing the service that we were hired to do. We've got a case now where we're trying to help as we get in potentially to hurricane season coming up, trying to prevent deaths similar to those that we saw happen in Hurricane Harvey. And those will be part of discussions going forward in cases that we have in those flood regions. But to the preparation of depositions from a tort case, Quentin has covered it. I'm sure your other speakers have covered it. But I'll say this, and again, really kind of a high-level discussion today about a practice. The practice of our practice is discuss. Have constant discussions with your colleagues over your case, over the points you've got to prove in a case, over the legal questions that are in your case, of what it is you think you need to pull out of particular witnesses, of what it is you need to cover in particular depositions. It's why it's called the practice of law.